How many of y'all have brothers and sisters? Any brothers and sisters? How many of you are the youngest? Youngest? How many of you are, okay, girls, you can put your hands down. Boys, do you have an older sister? Yeah. Any boys with older sisters? Do you ever bug your older sister?
Yeah.
Isn't it the greatest? It's awesome. Yeah. What kind of awesome things have you done to torment your older sister, Alec?
Both of them always try annoying me,
but you annoy them, okay. All right, cool. Any others? Anyone else have any cool tricks to try on our older sisters? No? Anyone, like, you ever stick gum in her hair? You guys never, like, it's just, right? Smack. No? You never done that? Girls, how many of you would like to have gum stuck in your hair? None of them. See, it works. It's annoying. It's great. What other things? How about, like, have you ever taken her, like, Barbie dolls or, like, dolls and stuff and, like, cut their hair off so they're, like, bald and stuff like that? Or, like, spray paint them? That's awesome. It's great. Well, I did that to my sister growing up. Because she deserved it, though. She tortured me, like, all the time. But here's the thing about my sister. She's really tough. But I never saw her as that way. I always just saw her as my older sister. So my job in life was to annoy her. Like, isn't that what older sisters are for? So, no? Well, recently, she's actually so tough. She fights in these, like, tournaments. She teaches, like, martial arts to people and goes and fights in all these tournaments and stuff. And I got to go watch her in one of these tournaments she was at. And I'm sitting there, and she's out there like, it's my sister. I grew up sticking gum in her hair and cutting her Barbie doll's heads off. Like, that's just what I did. So that was my sister to me. And she was just my annoying big sister. But then I saw her, like, come out in the ring, and, like, she had her gi on, her little belt and all that stuff, and she comes out. And when I see the girl, I say girl, but really it looked like the Incredible Hulk, like, had come out, like, this big shadow looming over my sister. I mean, there's big girls, and then there's big girls. This wasn't either one. This was a big girl, okay? She's coming out. She's huge. Like, she looked like, seriously, she had muscles everywhere, and she was just enormous. She had to be, like, 6-something. She was a lot taller than me. And I see my sister, she, like, you know, pairs up with her, and they start to wrestle. And all of a sudden, my sister grabs this huge girl, and she flings her over her shoulder and slams this gargantuan of a Goliath down onto the mat, all right? And then in that moment, I'm, like, fear struck to my heart. Not because I'm, like, oh, worried about my sister. I'm like, she's going to kill me for everything I've ever done to her. And I was like, why did I ever cut her Barbie doll's heads off? Like, all of a sudden, the picture I had in my head of who my sister was very different, because I'm like, wow, she's tough. Maybe I should never have messed with her like I did. As we look at our passage tonight, we're going to see some people who had a messed up view of Jesus. They kind of looked at Jesus that way, like they were used to him. You know, like you grow up with your brother or sister, you get used to them. For me, I was so used to my sister, I never expected that she was like Mallory's mom, who can like kick everybody's butt in this room, right? Like, she was really tough, and she totally shocked me because I had forgotten who she was. Like, I was so used to my sister. And we're going to see a similar story tonight. So will you guys look in Mark with me? Chapter 6, as we keep going, looking through Jesus' life. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. It says, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went away, he went about among the villages teaching. So we have this story that I guess I don't expect to happen in Jesus' life. Like, this is totally shocks me as I look at this story and I see Jesus come into this town. Because remember, every town that Jesus went into, what would happen? What did the people do? They crowded him, like they ran to him, right? And he would even have to go by where? Where would he go so he could fit everybody in? A couple different places. The water, like by the ocean side, so they fit? Or where else would he go? Like in the desert or the woods, like open areas, because there were so many people that were like, this Jesus guy can heal people. This Jesus guy can cast out demons. He does some awesome stuff. Let's all go listen to his teaching, because it's nothing we've ever heard before. The truth this guy has, like, shocks all of us. Let's go find out who this Jesus is. Well, all of a sudden, this passage, after he just gets finished doing a whole bunch of things just like that, says that he went away from where he was. Remember where he was? What was he doing? What were some of the stuff he just did? You guys remember? Not yet, but he does do that. You're right. Like, he does some cool stuff. He does that later on. But where was he just at? You guys remember?
Galilee.
Splash. Huh? Galilee. Yes, perfect. And what kind of things happened in Galilee?
Bad
things.
No.
There was a big storm, yeah, out in the middle of the sea. What? He cast some, what kind of demon? Just one demon?
Like
thousands of demons out of this guy. What else happens? Pigs died. Yes, don't forget that part. Some pigs died and people were mad about it. So he's doing all these miracles. He leaves, right? He goes back over to the other side. He does some stuff there. Now he comes, he says, all right, I'm going to go home. And it says that he went away from there and he came to his hometown. You guys know where Jesus' hometown was?
Bethlehem.
He was born in Bethlehem, you're right. He was born there. But where did he grow up? Where's home for Jesus? Nazareth, okay? Nazareth is not far. It's about 20 miles from the Sea of Galilee. So he's going to, well, I guess on foot, that's pretty far. He's going to go 20 miles. He goes home, and it says that his disciples followed him. Now, you're about to see something after this, because some crazy stuff happens in this story. And these disciples, man, they're hardcore. What are some things that they've followed Jesus through up to this point?
Storms.
The storm, which is pretty scary, right? Any other stuff? They're standing next to him while this crazy possessed guy's running at him. Like, they're going through some crazy stuff. We can list a whole bunch of things that they stayed right by Jesus' side to do. Now, these guys, remember, how were they called? Do you remember how Jesus called his disciples? Follow me. They're still following him. What did they have to give up?
Everything.
Everything. Jesus was like, drop your life. Drop all of it. Leave it behind and follow me. Some people, two guys left, who'd they leave behind in the boat? Their own dad just sitting there in the boat, right? Like, these guys said, hey, Jesus, we're willing to follow you. Just like, remember Matthew? What did he give up? Who was he? Tax collector. His job, his money, his wealth, everything. He gets up and he just follows after Jesus, right? They were willing in their hearts to say, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. If you want me to go, I'll go, but it's you. You're my king. And so right here is no exception. They come into this place and they're going to face some danger. Okay, and they're right there next to Jesus saying, hey, I gave it all up for you. I'm going to keep following. I'm not giving up. So they come in and look at the difference of what happens. In verse 2, it says, and on the Sabbath, he began to teach where? In the synagogue. You know that these people didn't even crowd Jesus on his way in town? Every other story we've seen, the second Jesus arrived, guess what happened? Boom, like you guys told me, crowd everywhere. Remember that one house? People couldn't even get up to see him. They had to drop the guy through the roof. There were so many people. In this town, that didn't happen. He's not by a seaside. He's not crowded in a house. He's not out in the desert to fit people. He actually has to go to their place of meeting to find them. And he walks into the synagogue. And granted, it's Sabbath day. So that's where they're going to be. So he goes and he comes into the synagogue because people aren't really, they're not really interested in going to find Jesus here. Man, this seems like such a different town from all these other towns, right? They're not seeking him out. They're not really interested that he's here. And why is it? It's his hometown. Like, shouldn't they know him really well? Shouldn't they know who this guy is? So he goes into the synagogue. And look what he does. It says he began to teach. Now Jesus was, this was his custom. Like, he did this. What did he say before about the Sabbath? Anybody remember? A few passages ago, yeah. Yeah, Jesus says, hey, guess what? I'm the God of the Sabbath. I rule over the Sabbath. I actually created this thing for mankind because it was good for them. But Jesus isn't some rebel who's like, hey, everything that's good, we're just going to throw it on the ground and not obey it. As a matter of fact, listen to this verse. It's, let me find it. I think I already turned my page. Luke 4:16. It says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he did this regularly, like he followed this custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus still followed the Sabbath. He's not some rebel that says, hey, all your rules, God, they're no good. I'm not going to follow any rules because I don't need those anymore. That's not what Jesus is doing. So please don't get the wrong impression of who Jesus is. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and guess what? He still follows it. Why? Because he knows that it's good for us. He knows that God created things, rules, different things for us to obey, because it's good for us. And so even Jesus himself obeys us, and he goes into the Sabbath like he always does, and he starts to teach. Now, as he teaches, look what it says. And many who heard him were astonished. These people heard Jesus, and they're basically left speechless because of what he was teaching. Does anybody, are anyone really familiar with this passage that knows what he taught? Any really, really, really smart, smarty pants in the room that's like, dude, I got this? Anyone know what he taught on? You can't find it in this gospel, but in another gospel, it mentions. Anyone know? Canaan?
Did you go through Isaiah?
Yeah. Yeah, him. He basically reads this prophecy from Isaiah and says, hey, guess what? I'm God. He reveals himself as God in front of all these people that are in the synagogue. And you know what? They're looking at him going, what? What are you saying to us? They're left speechless by his words because, A, they know that this guy did some awesome stuff, right? He didn't just tell them this stuff and show them the wisdom that nobody else could have. Like, it had to be from God. Where else would this guy get it? He has the same education as us. He went to our hometown schools. Like, I went to that school too, and I'm not that smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they're saying right now. This Jesus, how did he get this information, this wisdom? But then on top of that, we know he backs it up with power. Remember, he did all that awesome stuff, these miracles to show us, this isn't my own wisdom. I wasn't educated any more than you guys, but guess what? This wisdom comes from God, and let me show it through these miracles. And there's that big A word again, authority. That we keep talking about. He's showing his authority. So these people are astonished and they're like, what? Listen to some of their reactions. Saying, where did this man get these things? Like, where'd they come from? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? How is he able to do all this stuff? Like, he's proven the gospel to us because he's shown us through his wisdom, this, like, of how we're saved. He's told us that, he's taught us that. And he's backed it up because he's got the power to do it. He's shown us that through his miracles. They have the two proofs that they need to believe the gospel. And yet, look at their response. They're just left speechless. They don't believe it. Now, it's weird because as Jesus has done this in other like towns and other places, we get different responses. At first, we see that some people, remember, were like, whoa, you're the Son of God, like right away, like, woo, you showed it to me through your wisdom and you showed it to me through your works. Like that legion, the guy who had legion, he's like, let me follow you, Jesus. I want to go with you. Like, I believe. And so when Jesus shows the gospel and his power to people, they have a couple options. Either they can believe like that guy or like those other guys, they can go, whoa, I believe this, but I don't want this. Get away. Get away from me. Remember that one town after he healed legion, how they were like, leave. We don't want you here. Some people are like, yeah, we believe you're powerful. We believe you're probably God, but don't stay here. Get out of my life. That's another reaction to the gospel. And finally, we see this reaction. I don't believe it. I just can't believe it. I know you've given me everything I need to believe it. I can't do it. I can't believe that. And that's these people. And the funny thing about these people is they know Jesus the best. They saw him when he was just a little guy. They saw him running around in his little slippers or whatever they had. I don't know what they had back then. I doubt they had slippers, but running around and doing stuff and probably putting gum in his sister's hair. I don't know if he did that either because he was perfect, but he should have because it was sure fun. So they saw this and they know Jesus, but yet, you know what? They're like, hey, we can't believe this. And so they ask these questions. Listen to this one. Is not this the carpenter? You know what Jesus did for a trade? Anybody know? What was his job? Other than saving everybody in the entire universe. Like, that's a big job. Carpenter. And a carpenter, really, that word means builder. Like, he didn't necessarily work with wood, but he probably worked with stones and rocks and built houses because his dad was a builder, Joseph. And so as he worked with his dad, he learned that trade, and that's usually how they passed trades on back then. And so they think of this guy as, you're the son of a carpenter. Like, how are you talking like you're the king? What does a carpenter have to do with a king? We know your education. We know where you came from. We know who your father was. You're a builder. You're not the king of the universe, Jesus. We can't believe this. And so they follow that up with this. The son of Mary and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon And are not his sisters here, right here with us? Like his family, his lineage, who he comes from is right here. He's not from the line of a king. He's just a carpenter guy. He's this low social class. How is this guy supposed to be our king? I remember another story in the Bible. I don't know if you guys can see a similarity between this and King David. King David's standing out in the field, right, a shepherd, and everybody looked at him and was like, that guy can't be a king. He's a little shepherd boy, a little scrawny dude over there, him. He's got big, strong brothers over here. They look like kings. He doesn't. Here's Jesus. Here's this beautiful picture. He was foreshadowing Jesus being there, and they were like, what? This guy was a carpenter. This guy can't be the king of the universe. And so their response to the gospel was that last one. They just couldn't believe it. You know what that tells us? It tells us it's this whole thing is a matter of faith. Remember, we've been talking about faith for a while? Different types of faith. When it comes to the gospel and living a gospel life, it comes down to your faith. It comes down to this. You either believe him or you don't. Jesus has gone out of his way to make himself known to you through Scripture so that you know. And if you've sat in this room more than once, you've heard the gospel, I guarantee it, because we preach it every night. Now you're faced with this question of, will I believe or won't I? Who am I going to be like from this story? Jesus has shown his power to you. How will you respond? John 9:29 says, we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from. Now listen, the next question would be this. What if, all right, let's just imagine together, what if they had actually like not known him? What if they didn't know where he came from? You know, they weren't his neighbors. It wasn't the little neighbor boy who used to run through their sprinklers in the morning or whatever they did. Like, they didn't know him that well. What if he had just dropped straight from heaven and they knew nothing about him? Would it be easier for them to believe then? Because maybe they could believe he's actually God. They didn't actually see him grow up. But this verse here says that these people in John said, hey, we know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, Jesus, right here, we don't know where he comes from. We're not going to believe in him. You see that? It's another excuse. Man's heart just wants to make excuses. And it comes down to that thing I just said. Either you believe or you don't. And so let's keep going through this. It says, this next phrase is really important. Don't miss this one. And they took offense at him. They took offense at him. Can you imagine? This Jesus who gave up heaven to come down, to live an earthly life and stub his toe just like you and me and probably have a runny nose just like you and me and put up with everything else just like you and me and live this life. And then sacrifice himself on a cross and after he's beaten and tortured. And then pay the penalty of sin and death for you and then conquer it. This same Jesus that did all that for you because he loves you that much and for these people because he loves them that much. And their response to all that is that they were offended. They took offense to that. God himself reaches out with love and says, I love you and I want to save you and forgive you. And they're offended by the gospel itself. And so there we see this clear picture of a choice for us. Either we believe or we don't. And then it says in verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Now, these people really didn't like Jesus. If we look in Luke after he does this, after he says this to them, in Luke 4:29 it says, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill, cliff, right, on which their own town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. And Jesus passes through the crowd. They don't actually do it. But he made them so mad. His own neighbors, people that had seen him grow up, he made them so mad they all grab him and rush him to the side of the hill to throw him off the hill, the cliff, to kill him. That's how much offense they had by this Jesus that was willing to die for them. And then it says, if we look at what he says to them, we just see that we get a problem. We get this problem with pride in our lives that in his own hometown, even in his own household. Imagine you go home and your own mom and dad are just like, who are you? You know, like, we don't even know who you are. Shouldn't the people that know him best be able to believe the strongest? And then I wonder, like, as we're believers, as we come here a lot and we engage in church and hear the word of God a lot, are we growing in Him? And if so, do we just kind of get used to Jesus? Do we just get used to hearing this word Jesus thrown around and this word gospel thrown around and get used to the songs that we sing? Are we maybe like these people here that are so used to Him because we've heard about Him so much and seen Him so much? Like, it's just hard for us to keep actively believing. Like, we're saved and we've given Him our lives, but like after a while it's almost like, oh man, I'm just kind of used to Him. Or are we actively reaching out and believing, Jesus, do whatever you want with me. Use me however you want. Some of us might need to rekindle that with Jesus. We might need to get to know Him. Like when I was sitting there watching my sister all of a sudden amaze me out on that martial arts mat, and she's like doing some crazy stuff. It was like, wow, I didn't even know this about you. Like, I need to get to know you better. Because I thought I knew you really well. I was just kind of used to you. But wow, that's my sister, you know? And some of us need to be like, wow, that's my Jesus. Not just, hey, I know Him. Yeah, I'm kind of bored by Him now and I'm used to Him. But whoa, I have so much more I need to learn about my Jesus. That's my Jesus. And so, verse 5 says, and He could do no mighty work there, except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. Like, this faith, they didn't have faith, remember? And so how's Jesus going to go around and heal people when they don't even believe in Him? Why did all these other people get healed? You guys remember? All these stories that we've seen up to this point, how are they healed? They had faith. That one woman just touched like the hem of His garment and was healed because she had faith in Him. The guy with the legion came and like fell on his face before Him, you know? Like, all these people with their faith, and Jesus is healing them and doing these awesome works, but people here, there were so few there that actually had faith in who He was. It says that He couldn't do any mighty work. He did heal a few people that had faith, but this place just was so used to Him that they didn't believe. And then verse 6 says, check this out, look at Jesus' reaction. We're going to end with this. It says, and He marveled. Jesus, all right, Jesus marveled. This is that same word we saw in the beginning where all the people, like, they heard Jesus teach, remember, and they were astonished. How many other times has Jesus done some awesome stuff and it said that the people were astonished? Pretty much every story we've looked at so far, right? He healed somebody, everybody's astonished. He cast out a demon, everybody's astonished. He calms a storm, they're all astonished. Nobody can talk because these miracles are so incredible. They're like, whoa, you know, like they're just left like astonished. Now it's Jesus' turn. These people had such a lack of faith that it says that Jesus marveled. Jesus was astonished, and not by anything good. The fact that He could do this incredible stuff to show them, and that He could tell them the truth they needed to hear, but yet they still didn't believe, and Jesus just was like, wow, how could you not believe after all this? Knowing me so personally my whole life, and you still don't believe. And Jesus is left speechless. Man, I pray to God that Jesus doesn't look at me someday and say, how are you just so used to me you don't believe anymore? You're just so used to hearing me that you're not passionate about me anymore. You don't believe and have faith during those hard times. You've seen what I've done. And then He's like looking at me like astonished, like, wow. You know, like I need a dope slap, because that's me a lot. You know, we go through these times where we need to be reminded by the word that we need to get back up and be like, I believe, get to know Jesus again. Rekindle that fire with Jesus so that we can have faith. And so He ends with this. It says, and He went about among the villages. What was He doing? What's that last word? Teaching. Why do you think that's important, anybody? Why does He stick that right there at the end of this? Jesus ends this whole thing by doing this, by teaching. Why is that important? It's His mission. Isn't that what He came to do? Didn't He come to make disciples, to seek and to save the lost? Aren't those the things that He's about? He's going to go teach, and what is He teaching? The good news. Not just the gospel. The gospel! The good news! That you're not going to go to hell because there is a God who has died and for you and saved you and given you eternity. That's good news. Not the gospel. Not picking on you. All right? But we all need to get that. Because I need to get that a lot. I need someone to remind me it's not the gospel. It's the great news of Jesus who's died for all of us. Let's go tell people. And what is he doing? Going around teaching. Going around telling them this awesome news. Not in some emotional, ooh, crazy way that's going to burn me out. In a way that says it is the best news that exists. How can I not be absolutely infatuated with this message? Because everybody needs it. And I need to get my butt out there and tell them so they don't die and go to hell forever. Because Jesus entrusted me with that responsibility. All right? So here's my advice for you today to live a gospel life. Don't get so used to Jesus that you forget who he is. Don't get so used to Jesus that you forget how much faith you should be having in him, trusting him to lead your life. And if there's somebody here that's like, hey, I've never actually believed in him, like, haven't met him. Talk to one of your leaders in your fire stations or come find me. We want to tell you about who this Jesus is. All right? Will you pray with me? Father, we love you and we thank you that you're so concerned with us. God, that you care enough, you sent your own son to die for us, and that is tremendous news. Jesus, thank you that we can know you personally. And I pray we wouldn't just get used to you, but we'd constantly be getting to know you, and we would spend eternity doing it. We love you. You are worthy of our faith. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.